You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We've got Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining me in about 13 minutes here on the program to talk about the lawsuit that he and many, many other state attorneys general filed to force the federal government to fund SNAP. There was an initial hearing today about that, and there is some good news to report. And I'm especially excited because at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Craig Spencer. He is a professor at Brown University. He is a medical doctor, and he lectures on the history of public health and eugenics. He is one of the country's foremost clinician voices on emergency care. And he has publicly come out and stated that the Trump administration's policies mirror the eugenics policies of America in the 1920s, which were studied and cataloged by the Nazis. We're going to get into that very, very challenging conversation with Dr. Craig Spencer at 5 p.m. And I just want to tell you this about Dr. Spencer. This is not an academician sitting in an ivory tower. The man helped fight the Ebola outbreak in this country, in New York City's emergency rooms, and was diagnosed with, had Ebola himself in 2014. So that is not a conversation to be missed. And since we're beginning on a bit of a serious note, I can only say this about the day's headlines. It feels existential. The selection of headlines today, it is frankly frightening. Here was one headline. The Pentagon is readying tens of thousands of National Guard members to mobilize reaction forces across all 50 states. Here's another one. The Trump administration says it struck another alleged drug boat in the Pacific, killing four. And a Trump official today admitted, we don't work to confirm positive identities of those that are on board these ships that they're killing without the presentation of any evidence. If you don't positively identify these people, how do you know that you are not committing murder? Here's another headline. Trump tells the Pentagon to immediately resume testing U.S. nuclear weapons. I feel safer. Do you? And then this bit of breaking news just this hour. Classified U.S. report finds backlog of hundreds of possible Israeli human rights violations in Gaza. The State Department's watchdog says it will take years to review credible allegations against Israeli military units in Gaza. Dire times. Dire times. Frightening times, indeed. But from time to time on this program, you will all hear me talk about things and refer to them as no-brainers. Things that should obviously happen. We had Senator Sarah Kieski on yesterday talking about a bill to ask the Wisconsin government, the Department of Health and Human Services, to apply for waivers so that folks that are incarcerated, that are about to be released, that have mental health or substance use disorders, can receive Medicaid to address those issues prior to their release and continue to receive that care after their release. If people are coming out of our incarceration facilities, I don't know about you, but I think treating their mental health issues and their substance abuse disorders is a, quote, no-brainer. There was a bit of no-brainer news this afternoon. King Charles has stripped Prince Andrew, no longer a prince, of all of his royal titles, all of his royal honorifics, and is effectively evicting him from the palace that he has been living in rent-free for over 20 years. Here is the reporting today. Andrew will no longer be known as a prince or His Royal Highness, among other titles. This was announced by Buckingham Palace today. He will be known instead as Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. Even his regular name sounds snotty and creepy. Here's Buckingham Palace's statement. Quote, His Majesty today initiated a formal process to remove the style, titles, and honors of Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. He was a prince because he was the son of Queen Elizabeth when she was the then reigning monarch. He was given then the title of Duke of York, which is what he's generally referred to as well as the Earl of Inverness and Baron Killeley by his late mother. Those were granted to him on his wedding day. That was back in 1986. He also has royal honors, including the Order of the Garter and the Knight Grand Cross of the Victorian Order. Why am I going into all that? Because I don't care. Really, I've never been a royal watcher. Don't care. But why is this happening? It's happening because Prince Andrew has never been held to full account for his very long relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. If the royal freaking family in the United Kingdom can somehow stumble their way to figuring out that they got to evict this guy from his palace, which they quaintly call the Royal Lodge in Windsor, but it is a palace. If the British royal family can figure out that this is unacceptable and that he can no longer benefit from the privileges bestowed upon him simply by artifact of genetics, you would think that maybe the Republican Party in this country, who had railed about child sex trafficking rings, who fomented conspiracy theories about pizza parlors, would somehow find their way to bring the full transparency that they promised to their voters. People ask me all the time, well, why didn't Joe Biden do it? It wasn't a Democratic issue. Republicans and the MAGA movement specifically made it a centerpiece of their movement. So again, in the category of no-brainer, you would think that when your movement gets control of the executive branch, the judiciary, and the legislative branch, that item number one on the agenda would be to address this grand conspiracy theory that's been percolating amongst your ranks for well now over a decade. But no, they won't even seat a congresswoman who was duly elected, depriving her some 800,000 constituents of representation in Congress. I don't understand. I do not understand why this is okay. I've got a couple of texts coming in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of my favorite Kool-Aid drinkers continues to drink the Kool-Aid. Mark from Sussex all over my text line with a bunch of continuing misinformation and nonsense. Thank you, Mark, for participating. You get a participation acknowledgement. He says this, headline, more Americans think the Dems are responsible for shutdown. No, Mark, that's not true. Navigator Research, the Washington Post Ipsos ABC poll, who polled 1,000 Americans, as well as the Marquette University Law School poll yesterday. No, Americans aren't blaming Democrats. Maybe the fellow Kool-Aid drinkers might be blaming Democrats, but I think Americans have this one fairly accurately. And that is, Democrats have made a very simple demand: restore the subsidies, the tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, so we do not have a healthcare Armageddon. Republicans refuse to even talk about it, despite the fact that the situation that everybody's in is because of the MAGA movement. It's because they did that in the big, brutal bill. And despite the fact, Mark from Sussex and every other MAGA supporter that's listening to me right now, despite the fact that I've heard over and over and over and over again that Republicans have some magical plan to make healthcare both better and cheaper, I have yet to see it. So Mark from Sussex, please drop in the text line the link to the Republicans' legislation that they have to replace Obamacare and make healthcare cheaper and better for every American. Because if you were serious about solving this problem and you wanted the shutdown to come to an end, Mark, you wouldn't be texting me. You'd be calling your MAGA representatives in Congress and saying, Dems will sign the CR when you have active legislation that you have proposed to solve the healthcare problem. They've had 15 years to work on it, Mark. Where's the plan? We got concepts of a plan, Mark. We have no plan. 855-755. Am I getting the number right? I'm so ticked off. 855-752-4842. 855-757. Just whipped myself up into a lather. Let's get at least one quick call in here. Charles from Milwaukee, always like to see you on my caller line. What you got for us? And please make it quick. We're up on time here.
Hey, Maggie, the Kool-Aid must be super, super strong. It got to be good.
Good Kool-Aid.
The Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. John Thune, all he has to do is go in and blow up the filibuster. They got 50 votes, pass it, but they don't want to do that because they know that they will be blamed for the skyrocketing health care costs, people getting kicked off insurance. So what they're hoping is the Democrats will cave, and then they can blame the Democratic Party for the health care crisis
that they created. That's exactly what's going on, Charles. It makes me so mad. By the way, Mark from Sussex, please drop a link to an objective poll that you're citing, because according to the ABC News Ipsos Washington Post poll, 45% of Americans blame the MAGAs for the shutdown. Only 33% blame Democrats. And the independents, well, they're breaking in favor of the Dems. Just saying. Facts matter, my friend. When we come back, we're going to talk to a good friend of the show, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, about his fight to make sure that not a single Wisconsinite goes hungry despite the MAGA marauding. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're very happy to have joining us again, Wisconsin's very own Attorney General Josh Call. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Attorney General. How are you this afternoon? Pretty good, it looks like. Things are looking perhaps in the positive when it comes to SNAP benefits.
Yeah, I'm hopeful and glad to be back in the program as well.
So set this up for folks. This past Tuesday, so 2 days ago, you, as well as I believe it was 13 or so-ish other attorneys general, basically all Democrats, filed a lawsuit to try to make the Trump administration follow their own, I believe it was the Office of Management and Budget's general counsel's advice that congressional intent here when it comes to SNAP benefits was unequivocally clear, that if we have a shutdown, they use the contingency funds to continue to fund the benefit. Tell us who was all involved in the lawsuit and what the essence of the claims were.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of the heart of this. So as of November 1st, the Trump administration's position is that it's going to stop funding the food share program, as we call it in Wisconsin, or SNAP, as it's called nationwide. This is a really critical program to provide food security to people around the country. Over 40 million Americans rely on SNAP. And in just Wisconsin, there are about 689,000 residents who use SNAP. And that includes 170,000 kids, as well as 110,000 people who are age 60 or over. So losing this critical support for access to food would leave a lot of Wisconsinites potentially to go hungry. So this is a serious concern for the well-being of our communities. But as you mentioned, the Trump administration, while it said it's going to stop providing funding for benefits, there's actually billions of dollars in reserve. Whether that can fund, whether they have enough to fund all of November depends on whether they can use some additional funding or not. But certainly for part of November, they can provide funds, or they can provide at least partial payments. We went to court and said, the law is clear. You need to provide this funding. It's clearly Congress's intent. In prior right. shutdowns, funding was provided for SNAP. There was a hearing this morning before a judge, and she has not issued her ruling yet, but I'm hopeful that the judge will order at least partial payment of the SNAP benefits.
Yeah, this was a federal judge in Boston. The hearing, as the Attorney General just explained to us, was today, earlier this morning. Her name is Judge Talwani. She said this, quote, "It's hard to understand how this isn't an emergency," end quote. You know, I love it when judges have a firm grasp of reality here on Earth One, Josh. Like, my goodness. Thank you, Judge Talwani. I'll be watching to see if that decision drops, perhaps while I am on the air here. She went on and said this as well, quote, "We're not going to make everyone drop dead from hunger," end quote. Definitely sounds like it could be good news. Josh, what do you make of the fact that you basically only have Democratic AGs, state AGs, doing this? Especially when, you know, we've heard rumblings here in the state of Wisconsin. Governor Walz in Minnesota, our neighbors to the west, have said, listen, the states are going to step up and try to ensure the continuity of these benefits. We have different budgetary restrictions here in the state of Wisconsin. We would need our legislature to act. The governor can't just willy-nilly move money around, though Trump seems to do that every day. This seems like something that, as a state attorney general, if you are looking to have to divert state monies, state taxpayer dollars, from another purpose to do what the federal government should be doing, that would seem to be one of those states' rights type things that Republicans would be all about, but they're not. Obviously, this is just fealty to Trump and his policy. But I'm surprised you didn't get at least one. I thought there might be a token, you know, semi-centrist Republican that would have joined the suit. But no such luck, my friend, huh?
It's really unfortunate that this is a partisan action, because it really isn't. This is about the well-being of people in every state in the country. There are over 20 AGs who are part of the suit. I believe every state plus the District of Columbia that has a Democratic AG is in this suit. There are also three Democratic governors who joined the suit. But whether you're in a blue state or a red state or a purple state, this has a significant impact on people in your state. Now, you know, fortunately for my colleagues who didn't join this suit, it looks like the judge may issue an order that applies nationwide. But there have been a number of suits challenging cuts from the Trump administration where only the states involved in those suits have gotten relief. And so it's been really important that we are represented and we're part of that suit. But what seems to be going on here is that as part of the negotiating strategy for the shutdown, Republicans are trying to cause pain on people, the Trump administration is. And the reality is we don't need to choose between having people go hungry and not being able to get premiums funded for health insurance coverage. We can afford both, particularly at a time when there are billions going to support a bailout of the Argentinian economy. We have the resources here. This is what we don't have is the leadership in Washington that's willing to stand up for this. And hopefully that will change in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, it's quite telling. You know, $20 billion, $40 billion, who knows? It's all basically being underwritten by U.S. taxpayers for a country that is not a major trading partner of the United States. Largely, the only explanation I can suss out for the Argentine bailout is that a bunch of hedge funds took positions in Argentina and they don't want their investments to go to poo. Donald Trump yesterday on Air Force One saying, like, we made a lot of money with the Argentina election. I'm always curious, who's the we here? And all of this has to be put in context, as Mr. Attorney General is just saying. The GOP's, the MAGA party's big, brutal bill is going to cut nearly $200 billion from SNAP in the coming years. They have tried repeatedly to defund school lunch programs, restrict access to school lunches. It is shameful. Thank you, Mr. Attorney General, for fighting for all Wisconsinites, regardless of whom they may have voted for, because people deserve food in their bellies in this country. Keep the fight alive, Mr. Attorney General. When we come back, I'll be joined by Kyle Ross, policy analyst for the Inclusive Economy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We talk about the healthcare cliff next. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to take to the streets if people don't get their SNAP benefits, gosh darn it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I always love having guests from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, great experts on a number of things. However, I miscued my next guest. He is Kyle Ross. He works as a policy analyst in the center's Inclusive Economy section. And we're going to talk more about SNAP, which I'm very happy that we are going to do that, because we got some texters and callers that want to chime in on this. Folks, if you would like to speak with Kyle and I about this topic, of course you can. We invite you to join in 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Kyle, welcome. Thank you for being here. This is such an important moment. And I also want to just reemphasize the most recent polling. This is the Ipsos Washington Post ABC poll. In response to the question, who do you think is mainly responsible for the federal government partially shutting down? The numbers are actually better for Dems than I said a moment ago. 47% blame Trump and Republicans. Only 30% blame Democrats. 23% are unsure. Who, pray tell, are they going to blame when their family members, colleagues, friends, folks that they see in churches, synagogues, or mosques don't have enough food to eat, do you think, Kyle?
I think the answer is pretty obvious. I mean, the Trump administration has all of the power here. They have, of course, control of the White House, as well as both chambers of Congress. The fact that we are even having this conversation at all is mind-boggling. It's startling. It's completely unnecessary. It is a self-inflicted disaster, if you will. The administration has the power, it has the means, and it has the legal obligation to pay these SNAP benefits. The decision not to, and it is a decision because the resources are available, in my view, is an entirely political choice.
Entirely political choice. I have quoted this already on the program, but it bears repeating here. So the Office of Management and Budget, I'm going to call it the Death Star in the White House, led by Darth Vader himself, a.k.a. Russ Vogt, architect of Project 2025, firer of tens of thousands of federal workers, maker-upper of new law that basically says whatever Congress says, psh, hogwash, because the president is president and he can just do whatever he wants. Yeah, that guy, that Office of Management and Budget. So literally the Death Star of the White House. That Office of Management and Budget, its general counsel back in May. So like if there was ever any department that was going to issue a ruling to give or an opinion to give the Trump administration more leverage or whatever it is, it would have been the OMB's top lawyer, okay? But the OMB, the Death Star's top lawyer in the Trump White House in May, told USDA, which administers the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, or Food Share here in Wisconsin, said that there is a bona fide need to obligate benefits for the entire fiscal year prior to or during the month of September to guarantee that benefit funds are available for program operations in the event of a government shutdown. Congressional intent is clear that SNAP's operations should continue since the program has been provided with a multi-year contingency fund that can be used to ensure that the program can continue operations during a federal government shutdown. It goes on. These multi-year contingency funds are also available to fund participant benefits in the event that a lapse occurs in the middle of a year. And what that's about is if we sign a continuing resolution that kicks this out for another couple of months and we're having the same discussion in December, they're saying, yep, you can use the contingency fund if a shutdown happens in December, which is when it happened in Trump 1.0, which was the single longest shutdown in history. That time around looks like we're fitting to beat that record here. Their own lawyers, Darth Vader's lawyers, said you have to fund SNAP, Kyle. The only take here is that they want to inflict pain on American people to try to leverage Democrats. What else possibly is there?
No, that's absolutely the case. And that last point that you mentioned about it being being able to be used to pay benefits in the middle of a fiscal year, that's also just where we're at now.
Yes.
SNAP benefits are guaranteed through October in some weird, funky budget magic to basically have the start of each fiscal year be good to go for SNAP. SNAP is covered for the start. Starts covered. Well, now we're in the middle, technically. So just further evidence to go to show this contingency funds should be used and they're available to be used right now.
Billions of dollars, as I understand it. Billions of dollars.
Around $5 to $6 billion is how large this fund currently sits. And it's a lot of money. It's not quite enough to pay for all of the November benefits. And that is an important distinction to make because it's very dangerous to just stop at that point and say, USDA, fulfill your legal obligation, use this fund. They'll say, okay, there's not enough left. You have to go a little bit further. You have to go also make sure to use your existing transfer authority to protect SNAP and ensure that benefits are fully funded. They already did this. They already protected folks that are on the WIC program, which is explicitly for mothers with young children, a separate nutrition program. Back in October, they used they moved around some money from different accounts to make the math work. They were able to make sure folks on WIC got all of their fully guaranteed benefits. They could use the same strategy here for SNAP to go further than just using the contingency fund, which doesn't have quite enough money. If they move around the existing money they do have, they can make it work. They can fully guarantee benefits for everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into the demographics of who gets SNAP benefits. And it is a lot of children, but the WIC program, women, infants, and children, it's like, oh, maybe we don't want to see women who just gave birth and babies going hungry, but like 6, 7, 8, 12-year-olds, like that's cool, no problem. It is insanity at the highest level. And I just want to point out, folks, when Kyle and I talk about appropriation versus allocation and transfer authority, everybody's eyes are going to glaze over. What's important to note about this is that, as Kyle rightly pointed out, the federal government, and depending on the program, but most programs, the appropriation also comes with some lesser degree of transfer authority as a government executive branch agency goes through their fiscal year to move money around a little bit. It's not unlimited, but guess who decides ultimately who gets to do that? Yes, everyone, it's Darth Vader in the Death Star. That is who gets to decide it. This is Russ Vought making a purely cynical political calculation, in my opinion. Like, we're not going to do the SNAP. We're going to see if this can lever Democrats to try to force them into a continuing resolution because we refuse to solve the problem with the healthcare cliff that we created in our big, brutal bill giveaway to billionaires and mega corporations. Pretty shocking. Now, some good news, as I was talking just before you came on call, Kyle, with Attorney General Josh Call, that the federal judge that is presiding over this multi-state lawsuit to force the government to do this has said today that it's hard to understand how this isn't emergency and, quote, we're not going to make everyone drop dead from hunger. We're trying to keep our eyes on the docket to see when that minute order gets entered. It's pretty clear she's going to rule that this money has to be funded. But that's not the end of the story, as you said. There will likely be a request to stay that order, and they will likely appeal to the federal appeals court that covers Massachusetts, where this lawsuit was filed. What are we looking at? You know, I'm going to share some information this half an hour with all of our listeners about food banks in each of our listening areas that people can go to if they want to donate to the Hunger Task Force here in Wisconsin. We're going to share a link in our show notes to do that. What kind of let's say that this court order holds, right, that the appeals court refuses or declines to stay the district court's ruling. They may ask the Supreme Court on its shadow docket for an emergency intervention. But let's say that this ruling, let's give it about a week, is actually what is operable in this space. It's going to still take some time before folks will have their SNAP cards loaded once we hit November 1st. Is my understanding correct there, Kyle?
Yes, unfortunately, I could easily see that taking a week. And even when the order kind of comes through, hopefully we get guidance from USDA that says, okay, you know, load the benefits, prepare to send out the money. States and vendors that kind of distribute this money on the EBT cards that folks use at the grocery stores need a couple of days, usually 2 or 3 days, to actually make sure that those benefits go through, cards are loaded up. So it is unfortunately guaranteed that folks that expect to see their benefits kind of come through on the first of each month will see delays. It varies throughout the month. Some folks get it, you know, towards the end of the month. No state is, it's a wide variety of distribution plans. So not everyone could see a delay, but folks who usually get it towards the start of the month might see it a bit later.
Might see a delay. All right, folks, let me drop some of this critical information on you about where you can go in our different listening areas to get some help, or friends, family, coworkers, et cetera, need some help. In the WMDX listening area, Second Harvest, the River Food Pantry, Community Action Coalition. In the AUK listening area, there's a ton of them. We're going to post all of these in the show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. In Milwaukee, Nourish, MKE, Hunger Task Force, Feeding America, Salvation Army, House of Peace. In Racine County Food Bank, St. Vincent de Paul, Kingdom Builders, Fellowship Center. In the ISS Oshkosh area, the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, Father Carr's Place, the Salvation Army Lutheran Food Pantry. I'll continue to share some of these resources throughout the course of the show. If I haven't gotten to your listening area yet, don't worry, I will. We want to make sure everybody's getting this essential information. There has been reporting here in the Milwaukee area about basically the panic that Milwaukee public school teachers are in. Every single teacher I know has at least 3 or 4 kids in their classrooms that come to school hungry most days. They all, out of their own pockets, will pay for food. They're often distributing food in their classes, not just as a carrot, literally, to help kids perform better, but because many of their kids are in class hungry. So there has been an outcry here in Milwaukee. Are you seeing similar indications across the country, especially for those that work in large public school districts, Kyle?
Absolutely. You're going to start seeing not only schools, but food banks have a massive increase in hunger indicators. For schools in particular, you're going to see academic performance start to fall pretty drastically as more kids start coming to school even more hungry.
Kids especially at risk. We're going to dig into those demographics with Kyle Ross from the Center for American Progress Action Fund as we discuss the callousness of the MAGA party as they refuse to feed hungry Americans. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking this half hour With Kyle Ross, a policy analyst on the inclusive economy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Kyle has shared with me the entire document that was posted on the USDA's website until the Trump administration decided it was inconvenient in their quest, their bloodlust for vengeance and leverage against Democrats that are just trying to help the middle class and working folks in this country. Yes, that document that the USDA had on their website, on which page 15 includes the guidance that I've been reading from that says, yes, you have to fund SNAP, because that's why Congress created a contingency fund and funded it with billions and billions of dollars to make sure that Americans don't go hungry. But they deleted it because now that's inconvenient. Kyle, before the break, during the break, you and I were chatting about the reality that because Republicans hold both houses of Congress and the White House, if they wanted to, and Josh Hawley, Republican senator from Missouri, yesterday introduced a bill in the Senate that would simply fund SNAP. Like, oh, we understand that we should not be holding hungry Americans as hostages in our non-negotiation with Democrats over to how to make sure folks can still get health care. He's got a clean bill, but Senate Republicans won't advance it out of committee. They could simply vote to fund SNAP. They wouldn't need Democrats to get that done. They won't do that. It doesn't need to be tied to the reopening of government. Or am I getting that wrong, Kyle? I want to make sure that I'm not misrepresenting things to folks.
Well, from my understanding, it's all a calculation by Senate Majority Leader Thune to try to avoid having this bill or the Democrat bill that is also basically calling for the same thing, offering SNAP enough money during the shutdown to bring to the floor. If you look at how many co-sponsors these bills are getting, Democratic leadership and members have basically thrown their weight behind the idea that, yes, we should be funding SNAP benefits during November. I'd feel very strongly that these bills would pass if they could actually see the floor, if they could actually get action and have the opportunity to be passed. But the broader Republican leadership huddle suggests that that would not be good for them. It would force the House back. Mike Johnson has said if there was any action, you know, on SNAP, they would have to bring folks back to vote on such a measure. And that would not be convenient for the party to, since they're actively trying to avoid DC at the moment. Would definitely be a forcing moment.
Yeah, you and I are sort of chuckling along here. If they actually moved on SNAP legislation as Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri has proposed and they got out of committee and it was on the Senate floor, it would force the House to come back into formal session. So the super cynical view is they're going to let Americans go hungry because they do not want a discharge petition to get passed in the House that could force an open vote on the floor of the House about whether to release the Epstein files. I began today by talking about the like no-brainer stuff that I bring up every once in a while on the show. And I talked about the fact that King Charles has now ripped all of Prince Andrew's titles and his palace and all this. If the royal party in Britain can figure that out, we've got Republicans in this country that'll let Americans go hungry because they don't want to release the Epstein files. I mean, that's one read on what's going on here. Setting aside my ire and cynicism about that, Kyle, tell us a bit about the demography of who receives SNAP benefits.
This is the nation's largest anti-hunger nutrition program. So I'll say the number, 42 million SNAP participants. And that doesn't feel real. What does 42 million mean? Like, you can't count that high, right? In perspective, as a share of how many people are in the country, one in eight people rely on this program. This stat particularly boggles my mind, and I have a hard time believing it's true every time I have to recheck it every time. One in five children in the United States rely on SNAP benefits for food, for groceries.
One in five.
That is astounding.
It's 20% in the city of Milwaukee, half of our children in the city receive food share. And in the state of Wisconsin, it's just about 12% of our entire population statewide. So about 1 in 10 here in the state of Wisconsin. That means everyone that can hear my voice right now, you know, multiple people and multiple children who rely on SNAP benefits. Kyle, we've got just about a couple of minutes left here. What do you want people to do? What should we do to fix this problem?
The fastest and simplest and easiest way is calling out essentially the Trump administration, putting all the efforts to say, just one, follow the law, and two, protect SNAP like you protected WIC, and use the money you have available already to make sure that folks get the November benefits without issue. This should not be a conversation that we're having in November. The money is there. Outside of that, I know you've already mentioned, already had a conversation with the AG about the ongoing lawsuits, which could force some action, hopefully sooner rather than later. We've just talked about potential legislative routes in Congress that remain up in the air. State governments are taking a wide variety of approaches to this in terms of both trying to find ways to replace SNAP benefits or plus up money for food banks.
Just a quick point on that. Republican State Senate President Mary Felczykowski said they basically wouldn't consider funding SNAP on a state basis here. So MAGA here has shut that down too. State MAGA, they're happy to let kids go hungry as well. Half of the kids in the city of Milwaukee. Folks, stay tuned when we come back. Thank you, first of all, to Kyle Ross of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. When we get back, I talked to Dr. Craig Spencer, a professor at Brown University, about how the Trump administration's policies line up with 1920s-style eugenics. Don't miss it.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.